Our sermon scripture is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, and can be found on page 1217 of your pew Bible. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah. Please bow in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we do thank you for your glory, and we thank you for your word, a word that we can read, and a word we can meditate upon, and a word that guides us through this life. So Lord, I pray for your Spirit's attentiveness to be upon our hearts and minds as we go through this time of teaching. Lord, may we just continue to grow ever closer to you, stronger in our faith. To glorify you, we pray. Amen. All week long, I have not been able to get the image out of my mind. When you take something in your mouth, what would cause you to spit it back out immediately? I trust you've done that, or maybe not yet, but as I read that part of this passage from Revelation 3, the seventh letter to the seventh church, and ending our time of looking at the letters, that phrase, to spit you out of my mouth, immediate distaste, immediate horror. It could be something that you expected it to be hot and it was cold. It could be something that you drank and suddenly as you're sipping, you look down and there's a bug in your cup. That's happened. But something to cause you to immediately spit that out. It means Jesus would not want us. There's a distaste, there's a separation. Get away from me. Fortunately or unfortunately, as I share a little bit this morning, I want you to kind of have that image in your mind of coming to that point where Jesus would spit us out of his mouth. So we have the outline in the bulletin, once again, of this seventh letter, remembering this city of Laodicea, southeast of Philadelphia, east of Ephesus, so the completion of that large circle of the seven churches. And Laodicea is a city described as one who has compromised. They have accommodated themselves to others. And because of that, they're not willing to stand for anything. And they're described as being lukewarm. One of the interesting notes about this city and tying it in with this point of being lukewarm, that's the telling nature that Christ has given to the church, was their source of water came from a 6-mile-long aqueduct, something that they did not have any excavators. They had hands that built and dug out this 6-mile-long aqueduct. The water was said to have either come from a hot spring, and by the time it made it to the city, it was lukewarm. Or it came from a cooler source up in the mountains, and by the time it had reached the city through that 6-mile-long aqueduct, it had warmed up, so it was lukewarm. It began hot or it began cold. By the time it reached the city, it was room temperature. Now, if you're into health aspects, you know, you're supposed to only drink room temperature water. Hot or cold is too, well, that's not the case here in terms of our faith in Jesus Christ. The speaker is described a little bit more in detail here in this seventh letter in verse 14. There's a 3-part reference about Christ. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the ruler of God's creation. The aspect of saying amen. Amen means what you have just heard or what you have just said is sure and it's valid. It tests to the honesty and integrity of the word. And the faithful and true witness that Christ himself was that obedient child of God that went to the cross on behalf of all people. And the ruler of God's creation. That Christ has the power and the authority over every aspect of life in this world. A 3-fold amen. And then this description of what Christ knows about the church in Laodicea and knowing their deeds. Christ describes them as being lukewarm. And that's a condemnation of the congregation. He knows that the church has described themselves with the blessings that they are aware of, and yet they are described as being lukewarm and not worthy, in a sense, of bearing the name of Christ. And so Christ's knowledge of the church is the exact opposite of what the church has been thinking about themselves. They're not hot, they're not cold. They lack a certain level of zeal. They lack a certain level of uselessness, or they have uselessness. And that is a point of illustration that we can have in our minds as we self-examine our own hearts or in the life of the congregation. They're useless because they're complacent. You know that phrase, you get asked a question, I don't know. Don't look at people sitting next to you. I don't know. I saw some parents do that. Christ wants us, it's better to give an answer, either hot or cold. So wipe the phrase, I don't know, which restaurant do you want? I don't know, I don't care. Make a decision and just give it out there. Refrain from being lukewarm. We're not to be self-satisfied. We're never to be okay with where we are. We always have to get better. We have to get stronger in our faith. Faith and discipleship. And because of their lukewarmness, Christ offers the verdict in 17. Now, Laodicea was a city of wealth. They manufactured and processed gold. And they had cloth, and they had this salve to put over your eyes and salve for health. And they thought that they were okay because of their material wealth. And yet Christ offers this verdict upon the church. And in the verdict, he's calling them to a sense of repentance, to understand where they really are in their faith relationship with Christ. And that is something that we're called to do as believers, to self-examine and to seek repentance when we recognize that we have done something wrong. I've been involved in several works days at the Habitat House in Swanton the last couple of months, and I am working hard to be less sarcastic in calling out people in not kind ways for the work that they've done. And we had two very good crews, one on Friday and one on Saturday, and there was humor, but I was not trying to make fun of people's work. I was trying to wipe that out and be more positive. And I was more positive with a crew yesterday, and one of them said, you say that about each one of us, that you're glad we're here and that you have certain abilities and you know more than I do. And I said, you're catching on. You're catching on. But look at the description in verse 17. Wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. That can be our own self-description before we've known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or as we've become complacent in our faith. And Jesus Christ wants us to move from that to being, quote, hot in the faith, consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus offers this corrective command in verses 18 and 19. Authentic salvation comes only through Christ. It's not where we live. It's not what we do. It's not about what we drive or the clothes we wear. Not about our physical, temporary wealth. But it's the wealth of a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. And the command and the promise. Those who receive and honor Christ's loving rebuke are brought to him. He can rebuke us for our own self-worth, our own self-repentance. And as we listen to that rebuke and deal with it honestly, It'd be nice to have some statistics from the church of Laodicea and how they responded to the rebuke. As we respond with a hunger to satisfy Christ, to know Christ, we grow ever stronger to Him. And then the sad truth, the scary truth, Christ spits out those He does not love. And He does not love those who have responded to His rebuke. And so the command is to be earnest and to be repentant and to recognize that we're not perfect. We don't have to know it all. We can show up before people as we show up before the Lord with our strengths and with our weaknesses. And the promise in verse 20, the door. I stand at the door and knock. The door seems to represent the hearts of the people. Our hearts. Where are we placing our hearts? Those who are earnest and repent, we open the door and Christ comes into our heart and we're good and we're well with Him. And it's an intimate fellowship. An intimate fellowship of friends. And they have this aspect of the allusion of the fellowship to the Lord's Supper. To think about the closeness Christ had. Even with the sinner and betrayer, Judas at the table, Christ still served him. Christ still had fellowship with him. Christ hoped for him. But Judas did not let him into his heart. And then the exhortation to overcome the temptations of the world, to seek Christ and enjoy fellowship with Him. It's one of the blessings of being able to walk down the center aisle as you fellowship with one another. And often when that is loud, I'm at the altar thanking God for the fellowship we have with God and the fellowship we have with one another. And so from this outline, there's a message. And there's a lesson for us today, reminding ourselves that lukewarm is distasteful, and we want no part of being lukewarm. We don't want to be apathetic. We don't want to be lackadaisical. We want to be true and convicted and all in, and cold. Cold as ice. I think that's a song out there. To be frozen and frigid. I love that word. Frigid, and it's coming in this week. You know, it's going to be 23 degrees below zero. That's wind chill factor, I believe. But frigid. Are you really worried about being frigid in your home? We should be thinking about those that have no home, that have no coat. And we have those opportunities to serve others, but it's frigid because they have no interest in knowing Christ. But if you're described as hot, Christ is not going to spit you out of His mouth because you're invested and you're committed. You're involved in, quote, you're in the game of faith. Being hot means you have a passion. A few years ago, that was the watchword of believers, that this is what I'm passionate about. And I got up last night and I wrote a little note so I wouldn't forget it as I slept. I wrote down passion and the passion of Christ. Do you know what's meant by the passion of Christ? He went to the cross. He was all in. He sacrificed Himself. And He laid down His life for His friends. We're friends of Christ. As we are hot in our faith for Him, we have a willingness to confess. We have a willingness to repent, aware that we don't have to be perfect in the eyes of anybody, especially not ourselves. And we can admit our weaknesses because with Christ we're able to overcome the temptations and the trials of the world. So from that image of being spit out of the mouth, I want you to replace that with the door where Jesus is knocking and it's an invitation to let Him in. Maybe it's the first time that you recognize Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're going through a time where you've kind of become complacent in your faith. And you've kind of strayed from times of prayer and times of reading the Bible. And this is a time for Jesus to be knocking for a sense of renewal, of encouragement, to be reminded of his love and of his grace. So I want you to go home with that aspect of Jesus knocking on the door of your heart and to let him in. To let him in every day and in every hour is a time of blessing. Lynn and I are going to leave after the meeting today, and we're driving down to Columbus, a 3-hour drive, and we're going to go down and visit a lifelong friend of mine. He's been in the hospital for a week, and he has another procedure coming up tomorrow, and I'm going to waste my day to go down and visit him for 15 minutes. You know why I'm doing that? Because other people have done that to me, and he has done that to me. And that sense of fellowship with my friend Larry is based on our conviction of Jesus Christ. And we've been texting and we've been talking, and yet that personal visit is that sense of encouragement that I'm not going to waste my day. I'm going to be thinking about my friend, and I'm going to be praying for my friend and spending time with Lynn, because I'm all in the fellowship of Christ for one another. When I got Ed Wyrick's text yesterday about the changing health of Diane, I am so thankful that I visited them 10 days ago. First time in several months, and I could see that change. But she asked me about my son Ryan, and she knew that he was going to have a child sometime soon, and she, her mind was there, but it was slipping. And I am so thankful that I went. May we all take advantage of those times when we can witness, when we can fellowship with one another, because that's what Christ wants us to do, rather than saying, nah, I don't care. Let us care for one another as we glorify God. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 reads, "And do not forget to do good things and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." I invite the ushers forward to receive our morning offerings. pray. Lord, use our gifts to further your kingdom in this world, bringing glory to your holy name and blessings to all people everywhere. May the lost hear the good news and believe. May orphans and widows be cared for in the family of believers. May those in physical, material, emotional, and relational need experience provision and relief in the love of God and his whole church family. Amen.
May everything we say and do this week point back for the glory of God. Our closing song is Be Unto Your Name, and following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
May the Lord God himself bless you with his grace and with his peace as you continue to live with him and live for him. Amen.